takes the football. He is going to throw. He does in the flat. The nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the five. Touchdown!
Goddard, beast. He beasted him. He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, Merrill. And the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone.
Beast mode. Dallas Goedert yesterday, a back-breaking touchdown for the Eagles. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Biggest takeaway from yesterday's game, was it that great defense or an offense that was up and down? That was one of the ups yesterday, the Goedert touchdown. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni here, Hugh, talking about it. And he gives a lot of credit to Jalen Hurts for recognizing the defense. And he checked to that play. That was a Jalen call on the play. Goddard delivered. Here is Sirianni after the game.
Dallas's catch and run, what does that do for the team?
Yeah, we talk a lot about just physicality and our core values. Tough, detailed together. Well, toughness isn't just the physical plays. It's the mental toughness that I just talked about. It's the relentless effort that I talked about with John. And then it is the physical toughness. And on offense, right, you don't get those opportunities for those big hits sometimes that the defense was able to get. You know, Reed came out of the sky and made a couple big ones today. So you do it with your blocking. You have to do it with the way you run with the football in your hands. And nobody in this league is as violent and as physical as Dallas Goedert with the ball in his hands. I mean, did he have two or three stiff arms on that play? I mean, it really reminded me of the play that he made in the 2022 playoffs early in the game where he had a stiff arm or ran somebody over against the Giants. And really, you could see the spark it gave to the sideline. Well, it was the same thing here. And again, our toughness and our physicality were on display on that play. And Dallas is a physical player, and that was a big-time play. I thought Jalen did a great job of getting to that play. Jalen got to that play and made an unbelievable play and an unbelievable check that, you know, you're going to know about because I'm telling you about, but no, that's not going to be seen to the, you know, to everybody that he was able to check out of a play and get to the right play and get a ball to Dallas where he could go out and make the play that he did.
Hugh, that was pretty cool the way he described the Jalen check. Because if I remember the play correctly, they put all their defensive up front guys at the line of scrimmage. It was almost like they were all coming at him.
They were getting that.
Yep.
And Dallas turned around and he was right there. And he, like you said, he beasted, buddy. Didn't have a chance. He caught the ball, had him spun him like a top, and then like put his hand in his face like two times. He just mugged him, mean mugged him.
It feels like we saw the Packers do it a little bit, that particular play. I wouldn't be surprised, Hugh, if the Vikings or Rams do it. And we know the Lions like to do this. If defenses are going to do this, he has to get the ball out of his hands quick, and they need to have routes ready. Like Goddard turned around and was ready. Because, Hugh, there was some pressure yesterday where it looked like no one was turned around. He didn't have anywhere to throw the football. Like, they have to be ready for this. Otherwise, it's just going to be a dead play.
Yeah, you have to. You have to know that teams are going to attack you how the Green Bay Packers attacked you. They're not going to let Saquon run all over the place. They're going to make it tough for him to run, and they're going to make you beat. They're going to make us beat them with Jalen. That's what it's going to be. Like, make your quarterback throw the football. Now that AJ's a little banged up, that's probably going to even be more in the play.
Yeah, I think the AJ stuff this week is going to be fascinating to watch. So we'll see if he practices this week. We know last week he basically didn't. They called him maintenance. I mean, we could all have fun with the book and whether or not that was silly or whatever. But, like, the bigger issue with A.J. Brown is he wasn't running like normal yesterday. That's something we'll see if he's any better this week. 215-592-9494. This segment sponsored by McGurk's Pub & Grill. McGurk's Royersford location is now open, and another one is coming soon to Langhorne. If you're looking for a spot to watch a game, make it McGurk's. Black Gritty's up. What's up, Black Gritty?
Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. I mean, he's been reading this book for forever, and they got pictures of it, games where he's got 18 targets, 100 yards, a touchdown. The book isn't a big deal. So if you don't like your athletes reading, then newsflash, this is how to get their playbook read, too. They got to actually know how to read. So, I mean, let the guy read a book in peace if it gets his mind right. Not a big deal. Hugh Douglas, you did your service. You had the vibes right with your green beard. And I appreciate you on Football Friday having everybody be calm and rational. I mean, I prefer it on a Thursday than my Football Friday because I'm trying to be hyped up. But I understand it. See, the difference when people keep calling up here and talking like they know what they're talking about, I want the offense to look like it did the last two games. Well, sign me up to go play the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, bottom five defenses.
and then go play a top five defense and tell me that you understand that they're the same thing when you say you want Tanner McKee out there. And I love Tanner time, but you call up here on the radio and you sound stupid. And I appreciate you shouting out. I like calling people dumb, but my goodness, do you not think there's a difference between the New York Giants and the Packers? Top five defense? Guess what? Guys weren't open. AJ didn't practice. Devontae didn't practice. My dude came off concussion protocol. Everybody was worried about all the stuff. My guy had two touchdowns, no turnovers. You want Jordan Love? Jordan Love threw three picks. You're saying, fire it. Just shoot it off to fire the ball. Yeah, he did that. He had three interceptions. You numbskulls. What are you talking about? You want Justin Herbert? Justin Herbert's averaging 4.5 interceptions a playoff game. Because you know what he does? He just fires it. You just got to let it go. You just got to throw the ball. No, you have to read the defense and play the way the game is giving you. And I don't think the Kellen caught a great game. I don't think Jalen Hurts had a great game. But guess what? We got the George W. It's the postseason. And newsflash, buddies, it's going to get harder because the other defenses are good too. So my coach is going 4-on-4 down every 3 seconds. He's relying on his defense, playing playoff football, and racking up wins because that's what you have to do. Shut up and enjoy your Monday victory or go be a Herbert fan. Eastbound or down, you get on that bus. Go
Love it, Black Gritty. Good phone call there. Black Gritty, very passionate. You know, the Tanner McKee call here, that got people.
Well, it's ridiculous.
It was.
I understand having passion for the player, but when you sit here and say he gives me a better chance of winning, knowing we've seen a lot of playoff football, you can't be a real Eagles fan by coming with that take and being honest with yourself and say that, because we've seen a lot of playoff football. And we know how hard it is to get in the playoffs, number one, and then survive in the playoffs. So when you sit here and you say that, you're not being sincere about what you really want to talk about. You're doing that fringe conversation where, you know, you don't want to say you don't like Jalen Hurts for whatever reason, but that's why you're saying it by saying you want him to play somebody else. Just if you don't like Jalen, I have more respect for you if you just say I don't like Jalen Hurts and then tell me why you don't like him.
I'm going to give you a prediction right now. And then this is just all hypothetical, obviously. We said earlier they have the hypothetical spreads up over at FanDuel, like based on who the Eagles will play after tonight. They're 3.5-point favorites over the Vikings, and they're 6.5-point favorites over the Rams. If the Eagles came out today, and again, this is purely a hypothetical based on our caller a few minutes ago, Hugh, if the Eagles came out today and said, we're starting Tanner McKee on Sunday, my prediction would be the Eagles would be a 3-point underdog to the Minnesota Vikings, and they probably would be like a toss-up game against the Los Angeles Rams. Like they would go from being they should win this game to they probably
that, Joe,
would lose the game.
And let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to blitz the absolute holy hockey sticks, H-E double hockey sticks, out of Tanner McKee with these better vaunted defenses that we're playing against. And he might fare well. He might. But I tell you what probably is not going to happen. We're not going to advance. No. But, hey, we're going to be like, hey, well, we let the young kids show a lot of grit. Didn't win the game, though. You know what I mean? We're trying to win games. We got three more games to play.
I think there is a fine line between, hey, the pass game might have to get, you know, a little better if we're going to hoist this Lombardi in 4 weeks versus, hey, the quarterback is a problem to the point we have to bench for the third stringer. That's a very fine line that we're dancing around here, and it seems pretty obvious to me. Junior's up. What's up, Junior?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Junior, what's up?
So I just want to say, you know, I came on here about 4 months ago when we were sitting at 2-2. Everybody was sounding the panic alarm. And I said, stay calm, we're going to be fine. And what happened? 12 wins later, here we are, second round in the playoffs, right?
You know what? Now, a younger me, four months ago me, should have listened to you, Junior, because I was hitting all those alarms. And look what's happened since. They've been incredible.
Exactly. And the defense has been absolutely incredible. And, you know, I want to say, you know, something going into this week. I have all the confidence in the world for Oren Burks. I think it's different when you get thrown in there in a playoff game when someone gets hurt versus having a full week to prepare with the first stringers. He did it with the Giants. He had 18 tackles. He did great. I think he's going to do great again this week. Now, on the flip side, I think people are also forgetting the Packers' defense showed up. They played a great game, too. I watched the All-22 film. Receivers weren't really open. They were covering very well. They were forcing Hurts to make a play with his legs. They were forcing him to be super mad out there. And, you know, they played well. And that's kind of why the offense sputtered a bit. I have full confidence in it. I think Jalen Hurts is going to be fine. I think the offense is going to be fine. The Packers defense, they just showed up. And even then, they had our offense stumbling, and we still stumbled into 22 points. It's really, you know, it's really difficult to beat a team like that. So, you know, hats off to the Eagles. Hats off to everybody. I think we're in great shape going forward.
Well, Junior, good phone call. And if the defense keeps playing this way, they're going to be in great shape. Here, yeah, I mean, look, do I think Oren Burks could be better with a full week of practice? Yeah,
he
but,
might
it's
be.
A, but it's a drop-off from N'Kobe.
But I tell you what, here's the thing, and I don't think a lot of people are going to get this, and some might. When you have a young linebacker out there, this is what N'Kobe Dean did so well. He was able to adjust to some of the things that happened. He was a signal caller. I'm assuming going into this game, Zach Bond probably to take on more of that.
The green dot guy.
Yeah, he's going to be the green dot guy. So now that's going to change the way I'm assuming that Zach plays, because he has to be the one that's going to line everybody up. So that changes his assignment to take some of that pressure off of Oren, or maybe Oren's going to make those plays. But the point that I'm making is this: it's going to be different. And you have to be able to recognize things in a timely fashion, because going into this game, whomever we play, if I'm an offensive coordinator, the first thing that I'm going to do is see how much that young linebacker knows. See if he can line up. I'm moving people around. I'm running a bunch of crossing routes. I want to see how he fares in coverage, because that was N'Kobe Dean's biggest asset, his ability to cover and his ability to get downfield and play. But in this situation, regardless to either one of these teams that we play coming up, L.A. or Minnesota, they got two receivers
yep.
that they could throw the ball to. So now I want to see how well my secondary or the Eagles secondary is going to cover without having N'Kobe Dean out there. It was kind of the same thing, Joe, yesterday when – and shout out to the OG, man, Darius Slay, big play. He made a hell of a play. But, dog, when you go out for those extended periods of time, you put the defense in a bind. Not saying that he can't get hurt, because you can't control that. But there were – when he went out the game for stretches, I was nervous.
Well, they picked right on – they yes. went right after Isaiah Rodgers. He made a nice play knocking it away
yeah,
in the end zone, but they
he
went
did.
After him.
He did. I get nervous, because it's like they see that. They know that there you have a propensity of getting hurt. They're going to try to exploit that next week. You know what I mean?
Are, yeah.
They're going to try to exploit the fact that, you know, there are times during the game where you're not out there. So you have to try to figure out, bro, I don't mind you, Slay. If you listen, I don't mind you Olaying some of them tackles, man, if it's going to keep you on the field. Just let the other people know in the secondary that might be the case, and you might need some assistance. Just funnel them back to the people that actually like to tackle.
I do appreciate this year he has stuck his nose in there more.
Yeah, he has, but he paid the price.
Oh, he has. I mean,
he paid the price.
What was the game in New Orleans? He got, like, destroyed, and then the Steeler game, he got blocked out of the end zone.
I don't think it's a coincidence that every time that he makes a big tackle or does something like that, that he need a moment. He needs a moment, because he's like, shucks.
This hurts.
I'm not built. I almost messed up and cussed my damn self. I was like,
on a
like,
Monday after a like, win, you better watch
like,
yourself.
Why has Asai Reddick been on
no,
four
it's
other
just like, hell, why the hell am I out here? He, like, he trying to, like, that's the one thing I can say about Slay. He trying to get to the Super Bowl, but damn it, he going to be banged up. This might be his last season. Y'all taking some years off his plan. When he out there trying to make these tackles.
When
man.
He went to the locker room, I was like, oh, it's over. And then he comes running back.
He's leaving it all out there, man.
No,
you got to give it to him.
Like Hulk Hogan used to do when he used to when he put the arm up, like, hey, the Hulkster's back.
Dude, I need Hulkster music now for Darius Slay. Let's talk to Mr. Surehands. What's up, Mr. Surehands?
Julio, Cal, not getting bullied no more, Douglas.
What's
going
up?
On with
hey, Mr. Surehands.
All right, now, listen. So everybody can relax. Jalen needs to play better, and he will. But the road to the Super Bowl goes through Philadelphia. Washington Redskins, I believe, is going to knock off everybody, and that's going to be the championship game. Eagles versus the Redskins, and we're going to put a beat down on them.
Versus who?
I would love to play the Commanders. I'm not quite as sure. I was with you yesterday. I thought I felt very strongly they were going to beat the Bucs. I'm not quite as sure they're going to beat the Lions, but I'll hope.
I don't think the Lions match up with them. The Lions defense is trash.
I mean,
and that young boy gonna give them fits.
Yeah, they will. I mean, the Lions are 8.5-point favorites in the game. I mean, they're the biggest favorites of this weekend.
Yes, indeed. And shout out to Dallas Goedert for treating that guy like I did you on Friday.
You stiff armed Hugh.
Good job. Good job.
So what do you think about Jalen?
So Jalen, he needs to play better. I want to say he was rusty, but he got to get it together, and he has to stop holding that ball and just get it out. Make the play, whatever the play is, whether it's a 4-yard pass or throw the ball away or run for 5 yards. And we're going to be good. But Saquon got us. Number 2-6 is there. And if they stack the box, Smitty, and always open, and Goddard is going to go crazy.
Well, they might, but AJ didn't look always open yesterday. That knee issue feels like a thing here. We got to get through this.
It's an issue. Hopefully, you can work it out during this week.
Uh-huh.
Of wrestling, we'll be back, baby. We gonna fly high, man. 3 more wins, baby.
Let's do it, Mr. Sure Hands. Get a parade here. You know what I noticed yesterday, Hugh? So we know AJ wasn't as effective as normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Jalen had a lot of time to throw. I don't know if this was a conscious thing. He didn't run as much yesterday as a lot of games. He only had 6 runs yesterday.
I mean, Jalen?
We've seen games where he's had 13, 14, right?
Like, yeah.
Now, I didn't think he was fearful of running, because you mentioned earlier a couple times, like, he ran into traffic, right? It wasn't like he was avoiding it, but I did wonder that when the pressure was coming. Like, why isn't he just running? I wonder if yesterday he was trying not to as much. 6 runs is pretty light for him.
Yeah, I think partly because he didn't want to test himself too much, you know, because you don't want to be out there. You're still a thing, since you haven't played in a while and you had a concussion, it's still in the back of your mind about getting hurt until you have that initial contact. And he probably was still just trying to play cautious, trying to be a guy that doesn't get hurt, and not like he's playing scared, but you're out there and you're more aware of your surroundings. Because it was one time where he was rolling out and he was looking downfield, and then all of a sudden he just dropped.
Yeah.
Because I think in his clock he knew somebody was chasing him, because he almost ran Lane over. When I saw that play.
Oh, yeah, he almost took Lane's legs out.
He was
weird.
Because he just dropped straight down, because he knew that, first of all, I'm holding the ball too long, and somebody's probably coming, and nobody's open, and I don't want to, you know what I mean? So he just dropped down, and I'm like, damn, they took Lane out when he did that. But, yeah, I think it was a little bit of that. A little bit of that yesterday.
Yesterday he ran the ball 6 times. It was if you take out the Commanders game that he got knocked out of, obviously only played, half a quarter. If you take that game out, yesterday was his fewest amount of carries in a game the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
So he played 15 games this year. One of them he only played a quarter. So he basically played 14 full games this year. In 8 of them, he had 10 or more carries. I mean, 10 is usually that number. He had 15, 14, 13, a bunch, 12, 10, 10, 9, 8, 8, 8. Like, 10 feels like kind of the normal number for his carries.
Mm-hmm.
He had 6 yesterday. So maybe this week, another week past the concussion, he'll run a little more. Charlie is in Hatfield. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, you Douglas.
Yes.
Hey, I do not believe that Jalen Hurts can win a Super Bowl. I don't think an RPO quarterback can win that game. He can go 14, 15, 16 wins, but still lose that game. And that's the bottom line. His game is just not suited to win a Super Bowl.
You know who was probably one of the original RPO quarterbacks that liked to run a lot and throw the ball a lot? You know who's original? One of the original RPO? Steve Young ran around kind of like that, didn't he? And, doing stuff like that. He won a Super Bowl.
With who?
The 49ers.
Yeah, the 49ers.
I don't think it was Tampa, so it was for the 49ers. Charlie, so let me ask you this. And I think it's fair to question the pass game right now. But if he's not capable, is Lamar Jackson capable?
Well, look.
I'm just trying to get your betting advice. If I can eliminate 2 teams, I have a better chance to win my bet. Can the Ravens win the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
They can't.
You know who Patrick else is kind of a super RPO quarterback too? Russell Wilson.
Patrick Mahomes, he wants to be the greatest of all time. and he's going to win the Super Bowl again this year.
He very well might. I mean, Charlie, I mean, we don't have Mahomes. I mean, I you're not breaking any news. I'm with you. I wish we had Mahomes. We don't have him.
We do. We do. If Jalen Hurts can run the ball but look to pass.
I like how Charlie just overlooked that.
You think that Jalen could be Mahomes if he chose to?
If he would, instead of just running the ball, run to pass the ball.
Run to pass the ball.
Charlie.
Yes.
You realize he does that because he can't do what Mahomes does, right? Like, you get this?
So what you're saying is he's never going to win.
I don't believe that. I don't believe they can't win with him. I believe they can.
You can't go into the Super Bowl and just hope that Jalen wins that game. Right? Patrick Mahomes wants to be the greatest of all time, and he's going to be the greatest of all time.
You might be right on that. But so, Charlie, what are we supposed to do? Yeah, give up because we don't have Mahomes?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
No, we got to find a quarterback that'll do that. Otherwise, I mean, it's just never going to happen. Okay? I wish it would, but it's not.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I do think they're pretty darn successful.
I hope you're wrong too,
I know. Hey, I know you do.
I get to deal with reality, okay?
And
we don't.
Yeah. So, Charlie, I'll meet you in the middle. The pass game's got to be better. Is Jalen Hurts appreciably worse than Russell Wilson when he won his Super Bowl?
Not appreciably, no.
I think they're pretty similar. Now, that team, and Charlie, we appreciate it. I mean, Hugh, that team was not driven by Russell. It was driven by the defense.
And but Marshawn he had Lynch. His moments. He had his moments where he made plays, yeah.
But if you go back to those playoffs, I think he won games with nine completions, 18. The defense was – I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about last week, Hugh. If the defense keeps playing like this, they might win it.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? Because we all get caught up in what we feel is – a Super Bowl winning quarterback, or what needs to happen. You know what needs to happen? Like, it cannot be disputed in a Super Bowl win. Quarterback can't be the reason why they lost. Can't be that. Trent Dilfer wasn't the reason. Dilfer wasn't the reason why the
Ravens
won.
No, he stunk.
But he wasn't the reason why they would have lost season, because he stayed within himself. If Jalen does that, he can win a Super Bowl. We're still caught up on that. When Tom Brady was in, what was it, Louisiana last time when they beat the Falcons? Was that Louisiana? When they beat the Falcons?
The 28-3 game.
It was in Louisiana when that happened. And he threw them back in the game. That doesn't necessarily happen all the time. And I know that when we talk about the Eagles, when they won, that was a shootout. And it came down to one play, the play that will live in infamy with Brandon Graham. Like, there is no set way that quarterbacks win Super Bowls. It's not like that. I know we've seen examples of that lately where quarterbacks are making big plays because that's the way it's designed. But that's not the end all to be all. It's not. Hell, what's his name? That's on TV every weekend that played for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Terry
Bradshaw. He wasn't a great – go look at his numbers.
47% completion.
Come on, man. It's just like that now. Because that's the way it's designed. Is that everybody's enamored with the passing games and all this other stuff. But points scored this year have been down.
Yeah, if we want
to, so who's to say Jalen can't win this year?
If we want to meet in the middle, like let's. I keep coming back to this because I think that's where it's coming down to. If they're going to have to beat the Lions and then the Mahomes in back to back games to win the Super Bowl, they're probably going to have to raise the level of their pass game. I think we all probably agree with that. But that doesn't mean it can't happen. It just means we need to get there. 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls here before we hand you over to the afternoon show. It's going to be live at Chickie's at Pete's today on a Victory Monday. And we have to get to two liars on the other side along with your calls. I mean, flat-out liars, one local and one about our locals. You're going to want to hear this. One affects us all, and the other one was just a ridiculous lie. 215-592-9494 is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Darius Slay coming out to this on Sunday?
Yeah, that was a banger back in the day.
Oh, this was.
Until all that, we start finding out all those stuff about Hulk Hogan, then it changed.
Yeah.
Didn't he get booed on came up from Monday Night Raw? And...
Yeah, it's not as... it's hard to be a Hulkamaniac these days. It used to be really easy to be a Hulkamaniac these days. It's not as fun to want to be that out loud. But, you know, the Hulkster was cool back in his day. Then it's changed these days. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas and Joe Giuliano. All right, we said before we finish up with all your phone calls here, we got to get to a pair of liars that we found out about yesterday. Here we start with the Philadelphia 76ers, who lied and told us, you know, we're going to Center City. We don't care about being down at the sports complex. We're building a new state-of-the-art arena in Chinatown, and they got the approval, and that was a few months ago. And Hugh, yesterday...
Everybody was excited. Well, not everybody, but there were a lot of people excited about the approval, too.
I think I saw the news as you and I were walking from the press box yesterday over to do the pregame show, and I said, you see this? The 76ers are staying in the South Philly Sports Complex, so something changed over the past couple of weeks and months. I'm not sure what. There was a report yesterday that NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell got involved.
That's the thing that jumped out to me.
Uh-huh.
Is that, see, this is how, like, I followed this a little bit, and I do know that there were a lot of people that weren't happy about the move to Chinatown. And this was a done deal until Roger Goodell got involved. And that, to me, was the most interesting part, is because you have an NFL owner that's getting into other folks' business that ain't got nothing to do with him.
Unless it does. So a couple things that stood out to me. So the 76ers and Comcast Spectacor plan to open a new South Philly arena by 2031. So that's when the new arena is going to be built down there for the Sixers. World-class, state-of-the-art arena. And, Hugh, what I'm now wondering is this part of a larger thing with all the teams in the South Philly complex? Because there was a story, what, like 6 months ago where the Phillies and maybe the Eagles were going to team up to kind of like – you had brought this up when we brought this up then, like maybe change the area to more like the Battery in Atlanta, which I got to hang out with you down there a couple of years ago. It's cool. It's just like shops and restaurants, and it's like a walking area around the stadium.
Have you ever been to Gillette Stadium?
And I have not. That's New
England. It's kind of like Gillette Stadium, because if you've ever been up there, if anybody has ever been, it's like the stadium, and it's like a bunch of sports bars and stuff around. It's a shopping area. But my thing is this, okay, if you're going to do that, the stadiums right now are kind of like it's a lot of space. So, number one, I'm not an engineer, and I'm not an architect either. But in order to make it similar to what the Battery's doing, you're going to have to find out a way to connect all of those places together, and then where you're going to put the shops. And with that being said, when you do all of that, where you're gonna take up some of the parking if you decide to put it in some of the parking areas or whatever? How are you gonna do all that?
I don't know.
That's a lot.
It is. And now, I mentioned this yesterday, and someone said, well, didn't they just build these stadiums? And like, yes and no. I mean, you know, you go back and the Vet was what, early 70s, and then by 2004 there was a new stadium. So like, once you get to about 25, 30 years, it's kind of like time to revamp these things. So I'm not surprised we're here. I do wonder, though, we've heard rumors that the Eagles would love one day to have a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia.
So they're trying to position themselves to – you think that's what's happening?
My feeling is that Goodell's involved, because if the Eagles are involved and they make this a whole revamping of the area and they get a new Eagle stadium and there's a retractable roof on that thing, which I don't love but I get – then they're going to try to bring a Super Bowl to Philadelphia. That, Kyle, that was my view yesterday. When I saw Goodell's name in there, I was like, the Eagles are going to benefit from this in some way.
It does feel like everybody was kind of doing this in lockstep with each other. Like, feels like Lori's involved. That complex, I guess, is everybody has stake in it. I would also be against the Eagles adding a retractable roof just so they can get a Super Bowl here. Because, I mean, one of the charms, it's not like they would open the roof on a snow day. That would be a game that they try to avoid having the roof open. Yeah. Like, I want the elements in a Philadelphia.
Me too.
My question is this. What about the money that's already changed hands? What about that money?
You can't get that back.
No, that's not like, seriously, think about all the contractors that you've probably initially lined up already, that you've given them like a retainer. Or something to that effect to make sure that they're going to do the job or whatever. What about those funds? You don't get those. I'm assuming you don't get that back.
That's a good point. I don't know.
And the people that have already, that knew this was coming, that have already started the process of moving.
Well, and then the real estate prices probably changed because of that.
All of that.
You know, it's a lot. I think and this is going to end up a better thing for the city, for the fan base, for all of us. But it is a weird way we got here. So we got that news yesterday. We also have one more liar yesterday that Kyle noticed. And, you know, this flew under the radar a little bit because the Eagles won the game. And Matt LaFleur to me is kind of like a blah. Like, I don't have any, like, I look at Matt.
No real personality there.
No, but there's nothing, like, I don't hate him. I don't, but I also don't think he's like a genius. He's just there. He's a good coach. He's fine. But he did say something that we are ready to, our liar meter is up on this one. Listen to Matt LaFleur talking about fans here in Philadelphia.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone in there and you're riding in on the bus and the next thing you know, your bus is splattered with eggs. It's a unique experience. And I think, but it makes it a lot more fun as well. So
we had our research team this morning dive into this. Hugh, we think he's been here as a coach, whether it be an assistant or a head coach, 5, 6, maybe 7 times. How do you lose track of how many times they egg your bus if you've only been here 6 times?
No, you know what? I knew he was, you know when I knew he was lying?
When?
Because I knew that was a man that told a lie that did not know how much eggs cost. He don't know how much eggs cost nowadays.
That's my thought, too.
You know, like, what I'm saying? I mean, real talk. Who the hell buying expensive-ass eggs to throw them at a bus?
So let me give you an egg story quick. I was shopping the other day. You know, so they have the different eggs now, right? You can get your...
You got the free-range eggs.
If you want some free-range pasteurized eggs, I picked those up. They're like, you know, like they're $7 or $8 a carton.
Yeah.
So even normal eggs, whatever. Like, I don't know, was it 3, 4? Hugh, that's a good point. Who's buying $6 eggs
to
toss?
Nobody. Listen, eggs so high now, I thought about buying a couple chickens, like, to make
second,
the eggs. I did some research.
Do you have a fence?
I don't, but I know some people who got one. But see, what I would do is this.
Are you going to have someone house your chickens?
No, see, listen. I know some people that live in Jersey that have farmland. So what I was trying to do is, like, you know, make a deal where we can split these eggs. Because, you know, that way. But there's something about, I didn't figure out how the chickens actually stimulate themselves to make the eggs. Because I know you need a rooster. No, but it's something I this is where I got to doing some other stuff. But I did research it because you get you a couple chickens, and you know it all depends on how you do it. You could probably get you some chickens and make let them do their thing.
Two quick thoughts on this, Hugh. Number one, your algorithm's going to be a mess this week after the chicken searches. Just get ready for that.
Oh no, it's my algorithm already. Margaret,
it's a lost cause.
I have a question for you or anyone else that has chickens, right? And that has the chickens expressly for the purpose of eggs. All right, you ready for my question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have enough self-control?
Not to cook the chicken?
Well, that's what I mean, exactly. Like, so you have a chicken, you have it for the eggs, but then you're hungry, and you're like, I got a chicken right back there. Would you leave the chicken alone even when you got no food in the fridge?
Yes, because you know what? I was traumatized when I was young. My family is from the South, and I remember one time, this was a long time ago, when my grandmother was alive, it was like, go get some chicken, because we about to cook a chicken. So, you know, being from the Midwest, we go outside, because I'm thinking we going to the grocery store.
That wasn't it?
Oh, hell no, they went in the yard, and they got a chicken, and I remember it was one of my cousins. And they chopped the chicken head off and let the chicken run all around the thing. And then she took the feathers off and she fried it. And I was like, dog, I mean, it didn't stop me from eating chicken, obviously. But at that moment, I was like, no, I'm good. I mean, it was.
That's a lot for a kid.
Them Southern upbringing, man. They're different.
I had a roommate in college come home one day with 3 chicks, and he's like, "I got these for a steal. Like they were like $2 a piece or $3 a piece or something."
The plan was to eat them.
No, he actually built a coop in the backyard.
Okay. Yeah,
which I'm not sure a landlord was very fond of.
Oh, I'm sure he was not.
So he moved it to the basement, which smelled horrible.
That's not for inside.
No, it wasn't. It was not an inside thing, but. But the Matt LaFleur thing, like,
he's a liar.
That was
a bold-faced lie. It was a bold-faced lie.
There's no way.
Ain't nobody throwing no damn eggs at you,
First of all, I would put the max amount of times that his bus has been egged coming here at like one. Like maybe it happened like just like one random instance. There's no way you're going to tell me that he can't even count how many times he's come here and we're just unloading on the team bus with eggs. That's not a thing.
So like let's pretend this was Bill Belichick, who coached in the NFL in various capacities for 40 years, including in the division against the Eagles for a decade or whatever. I could kind of buy that. Like, I forget how many times this happened. They're wild down there. LaFleur's been a head coach for 4 years. He was an assistant for a little while before that. Like, he acts as if he's been here 100 times. Oh, I lost track. No, you didn't. This maybe happened
once. Maybe he was
once.
Talking about when Atlanta came to town and he was down when he was
maybe.
Down there. Yeah, who knows?
Maybe. I think he's just a liar.
Yeah, that was a flat out. Nobody's throwing eggs at you, dog. Nobody's going to the store and saying, hey, we're going to throw these $8 eggs at your
There's no team that he could have come here on a bus with that we would care enough about to want to send that kind of message.
He was a Commander's assistant, a Falcons assistant.
Yeah, the Commanders have sucked for a while. And like the Falcons, whatever, you're the Falcons.
And until yesterday, they haven't had many big games against the Packers here lately. He's a liar.
It's such a liar.
Eliminated liar. Matt LaFleur. Mel and Ambler. What's up, Mel?
Yeah. Everybody's worried about this game on Sunday. I'm not worried about Minnesota or L.A. Wait, and you guys are going to see something on Sunday that you ain't seen in a long time.
What's that?
Jalen is going to light it up because they woke up a sleeping giant and got it. That first quarter, it's going to be a blowout.
I'm confused what sleeping giant was woken. Like, what did you see to that? Goddard? Is that what you mean? Goddard's the sleeping giant?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, he could be. I mean, he's a good player. He's just stay healthy. I mean, look, Mel, I hope you're right. I'm not going to hold my breath for 300 yards passing on Sunday. Let's just get another win, Mel. I'll take that.
That's all that matters.
Darius Slay coming out to this on Sunday?
Yeah, that was a banger back in the day.
Oh, this was.
Until all that, we start finding out all those stuff about Hulk Hogan, then it changed.
Yeah.
Didn't he get booed on a... Came out from Monday Night Raw. And
yeah, it's not as it's hard to be a Hulkamaniac these days. It used to be really easy to be a Hulkamaniac these days. It's not as fun to want to be that out loud. But yeah, the Hulkster was cool back in his day. Then it's changed these days. All right, welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas and Joe Giuliano. Are we said before we finish up with all your phone calls here? We got to get to a pair of liars that we found out about yesterday. Here we start with the Philadelphia 76ers, who lied and told us, we're going to Center City. We don't care about being down at the sports complex. We're building a new state-of-the-art arena in Chinatown, and they got the approval, and that was a few months ago. And Hugh, yesterday,
everybody was excited. Well, not everybody, but there were a lot of people excited about the approval too.
I think I saw the news as you and I were walking from the press box yesterday over to do the pregame show. And I said, you see this? The 76ers are staying in the South Philly Sports Complex. So something changed over the past couple of weeks and months. I'm not sure what. There was a report yesterday that NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell got involved.
That's the thing that jumped out to me.
Uh-huh.
Is that, see, this is how, like, I followed this a little bit, and I do know that there were a lot of people that weren't happy about the move to Chinatown. And this was a done deal until Roger Goodell got involved. And that, to me, was the most interesting part, is because you have an NFL owner that's getting into other folks' business that ain't got nothing to do with him.
Unless it does. So a couple things that stood out to me. So the 76ers and Comcast Spectacor plan to open a new South Philly arena by 2031. So that's when the new arena is going to be built down there for the Sixers. World-class, state-of-the-art arena. And, Hugh, what I'm now wondering is this part of a larger thing with all the teams in the South Philly complex? Because there was a story, what, like 6 months ago where the Phillies and maybe the Eagles were going to team up to kind of like – you had brought this up when we brought this up then, like maybe change the area to more like the Battery in Atlanta, which I got to hang out with you down there a couple of years ago. It's cool. It's just like shops and restaurants, and it's like a walking area around the stadium.
Have you ever been to Gillette Stadium?
And I have not. That's New
England. It's kind of like Gillette Stadium, because if you've ever been up there, if anybody has ever been, it's like the stadium, and it's like a bunch of sports bars and stuff around. It's a shopping area. But my thing is this, okay, if you're going to do that, the stadiums right now are kind of like it's a lot of space. So, number one, I'm not an engineer, and I don't, I'm not an architect either. But in order to make it similar to what the Battery's doing, you're going to have to find out a way to connect all of those places together, and then where are you going to put the shops? And with that being said, when you do all of that, where are you going to take up some of the parking? If you decide to put it in some of the parking areas or whatever, how are you going to do all that?
I don't know.
It's a lot.
It is. And now, I mentioned this yesterday, and someone said, well, didn't they just build these stadiums? And like, yes and no. I mean, you know, you go back and the Vet was what, early 70s, and then by 2004 there was a new stadium. So like, yeah. once you get to about 25, 30 years, it's kind of like time to re-ramp these things. So I'm not surprised we're here. I do wonder though, we've heard rumors that the Eagles would love one day to have a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia.
So they're trying to position themselves to, mm-hmm. you think that's what's happening?
That my feeling is that Goodell's involved, because if the Eagles are involved and they make this a whole revamping of the area and they get a new Eagle stadium and there's a retractable roof on that thing, which I don't love, but I get, then they're going to try to bring a Super Bowl to Philadelphia. That, Kyle, that was my view yesterday. When I saw Goodell's name in there, I was like, the Eagles are going to benefit from this in some way.
It does feel like everybody was kind of doing this in lockstep with each other. Like, feels like Lori's involved. That complex, I guess, is everybody has stake in it. I would also be against the Eagles adding a retractable roof just so they can get a Super Bowl here. Because, I mean, one of the charms, it's not like they would open the roof on a snow day. That would be a game that they try to avoid having the roof open. Yeah. Like, I want the elements in a Philadelphia.
Me too.
My question is this. What about the money that's already changed hands? What about that money?
You can't get that back.
No, that's not like, seriously, think about all the contractors that you've probably initially lined up already that you've given them like a retainer. Or something to that
for
effect to make sure
up, yeah.
that they're going to do the job or whatever. What about those funds? You don't get those. I'm assuming you don't get that back.
That's a good point. I don't
and
know.
And the people that have already, that knew this was coming, that have already started the process of moving.
Well, and then the real estate prices probably changed because
of
that.
All of that.
You know, it's a lot. I think and this is going to end up a better thing for the city, for the fan base, for all of us. But it is a weird way we got here. So we got that news yesterday. We also have one more liar yesterday that Kyle noticed. And, you know, this flew under the radar a little bit because the Eagles won the game. And Matt LaFleur to me is kind of like a blah. Like, I don't have any, like, I look at Matt.
No real personality there.
No, but there's nothing like, I don't hate him. But I also don't think he's like a genius. He's just there. He's a good coach. He's fine. But he did say something that we are ready. Our liar meter is up on this one. Listen to Matt LaFleur talking about fans here in Philadelphia.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone in there and you're riding in on the bus and the next thing you know, your bus is splattered with eggs. It's just, it's a unique experience. And I think, but it makes it a lot more fun as well. So
we had our research team this morning dive into this. Hugh, we think he's been here as a coach, whether it be an assistant or a head coach, 5, 6, maybe 7 times. How do you lose track of how many times they egg your bus if you've only been here 6 times?
No, you know what? I knew he was. You know when I knew he was lying?
When?
Because I knew that was a man that told a lie that did not know how much eggs cost. He don't know how much eggs cost nowadays.
That's my thought too.
You know like what I'm saying? I mean, real talk. Who the hell buying expensive ass eggs to throw them at a bus?
So let me give you an egg story quick. I was shopping the other day. You know, so they have the different eggs now, right? You can get your
you got the free range eggs.
If you want some free range pasteurized eggs, I picked those up. They're like, you know, like they're $7 or $8 a carton.
Yeah.
So even normal eggs, whatever. Like I don't know, was it 3, 4? Hugh, that's a good point. Who's buying $6 eggs
to
toss?
Nobody. Listen, eggs so high now. I thought about buying a couple chickens, like to make
second,
the eggs. I did some
Do
research.
Do you have a fence?
I don't, but I know some people who got one. Yeah, but see, what I would do is
what
this.
Are you going to have someone house your chickens?
No, see, listen. I know some people that live in Jersey mm-hmm. that have farmland. So what I was trying to do is, like, you know, make a deal where we can split these eggs. Because, you know, that way. But there's something about I didn't figure out how the chickens actually stimulate themselves to make the eggs. Because I know you need a rooster. No, but it's something I this is where I got to doing some other stuff. But I did research it because you get you a couple chickens, And you know it all depends on how you do it. You could probably get you some chickens and make let them do their thing.
Two quick thoughts on this, Hugh. Number one, your algorithm's going to be a mess this week after the chicken searches. Just get ready for that.
Oh no, it's my algorithm already. My algorithm.
Two, it's a lost cause.
I have a question for you or anyone else that has chickens, right? Or and that has the chickens expressly for the purpose of eggs. All right, you ready for my question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have enough self-control?
Not to cook the chicken?
Well, that's what I mean. Exactly. Like, so you have a chicken, you have it for the eggs, but then you're hungry and you're like, I got a chicken right back there. Would you leave the chicken alone even when you got no food in the fridge?
Yes, because you know what? I was traumatized when I was young. My family is from the South. And I remember one time, this was a long time ago, when my grandmother was alive. It was like, go get some chicken. Because we about to cook a chicken. So, you know, being from the Midwest, we go outside because I'm thinking we going to the grocery store.
That wasn't it?
Oh, hell no. They went in the yard. And they got a chicken. And I remember it was one of my cousins. And they chopped the chicken head off and let the chicken run all around the thing. And then she took the feathers off. And she fried it. And I was like, dog, I mean, it didn't stop me from eating chicken, obviously, but at that moment, I was like, no, I'm good. I mean, it was.
That's a lot for a kid.
Them Southern upbringing, man, they're different.
I had a roommate in college come home one day with three chicks, and he's like, I got these for a steal. Like, they were like $2 a piece or $3 a piece or something.
The plan was to eat them.
No, he actually built a coop in the backyard,
okay. Yeah.
Which I'm not sure a landlord was very fond of.
Oh, I'm sure he was not.
So he moved it to the basement,
mm-hmm.
which... smelled horrible.
That's not for inside.
No, it wasn't. It was not an inside thing. But the Matt LaFleur thing, like,
he's a liar.
That was
a bold-faced lie. It was a bold-faced lie.
There's no way.
Ain't nobody throwing no damn eggs.
First of all, I would put the max amount of times that his boss has been egged coming here at like one. Like maybe it happened like just like one random instance. There's no way you're going to tell me that he can't even count how many times he's come here. And we're just unloading on the team boss with eggs. That's not a thing.
So, like, let's pretend this was Bill Belichick, who coached in the NFL in various capacities for 40 years, including in the division against the Eagles for a decade or whatever. I could kind of buy that. Like, I forget how many times this happened. They're wild down there. LaFleur's been a head coach for 4 years. He was an assistant for a little while before that. Like, he acts as if he's been here 100 times. Oh, I lost track. No, you didn't. This maybe,
well, maybe he was
once.
Talking about when Atlanta came to town and he was down when he was
maybe.
Down there. Yeah, who knows?
Maybe. I think he's just a liar.
Yeah, that was a flat out. Nobody's throwing eggs at you, dog. Nobody's going to the store and saying, hey, we're going to throw these $8 eggs at your
There's no team that he could have come here on a bus with that we would care enough about to want to send that kind of message.
He was a Commander's assistant, a Falcons assistant.
Yeah, the Commanders have sucked for a while. And like the Falcons, whatever, you're the Falcons.
And until yesterday, they haven't had many big games against the Packers here lately. He's a liar.
It's just such a liar.
Eliminated liar. Matt LaFleur. Mel and Ambler. What's up, Mel?
Yeah. Everybody's worried about this game on Sunday. I'm not worried about Minnesota or L.A. And you guys are going to see something on Sunday that you ain't seen in a long time.
What's that?
Jalen is going to light it up because they woke up a sleeping giant and got it. That first quarter, it's going to be a blowout.
I'm confused what sleeping giant was woken. Like, what did you see to that? Goddard? Is that what you mean? Goddard's the sleeping giant?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, he could be. I mean, he's a good player. He's just to stay healthy. I mean, look, Mel, I hope you're right. I'm not going to hold my breath for 300 yards passing on Sunday. Let's just get another win, Mel. I'll take that.
That's all that matters.